This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Look, nobody up at Flyer Brands wanted to deal with this. Nobody. But they had to, and they have, and, you know, they put out a statement, et cetera, and as they said, no action is going to be taken towards Jeff Ulbrich, and they'll continue to work, you know, with the NFL and any investigation that needs to be done. But I'll just simply say this. For those of you who have kids, you have a 21-year-old kid at home, they're not grown. You're paying their bills. You're paying their way. They are legal. They ain't grown. And that's the difference, Mike, where I say this is a 21-year-old man. If he was out in the world and, like you said, you left at 17 and he's making his way and he's paying his own bills and he's doing his own thing, different. But that is far few in between, Mike Bell, because we do know in this day and age there are more young people staying at home.
Right. No, that's true.
Than ever before. So when you say I'm grown, are you grown? Are you 26 at home and somebody's paying your bills? Or are you grown? Right. There's a difference for me.
Well, I just know this. I mean, like I said, all I can go by is my own experience. Like I think we approach any issue. If I had a kid, I could speak to having a child. I don't, so I can't. You do. All I'm saying is, when I was a kid in my household, and my father had a political position with the NYPD, and he was on television. I mean, there were just things that. I mean, hell, if I'd be at a party and somebody had a joint, I'd jump out the window because heaven forbid I get busted.
Sure.
You know. So again, I get it. Different time, different place, and things are a lot different than 1985 to where we're now in 2025. I get that. So again. All I know is it was just a situation that you've really embarrassed your father and the organization, and now people have to answer questions about you. So, hey, this too shall pass. But, man, there's a lot of people on social media that want a pound of flesh. And I got to be honest. I'm with you there. I don't know how and what you're talking about. You want to cane him like we live in Singapore?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, it's over the top.
And, again, I said this. Jeff Ulbrich did not do anything wrong. As his father, he didn't. Now, he's responsible because that's his son, but he didn't do this. He didn't do this, and he's got to answer for it. All right, guys, we got plenty more to dive into. It's been a busy show already. Talking about our Braves, obviously, who are on the road against Colorado. We're going to have Grant McCauley, who will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, Josh Kendall is going to stop by from The Athletic, Mike, here in about 15 minutes. To talk with us about his thoughts on this draft. We'll get his thoughts on James Pierce Jr. as well.
I mean, it really is the focal point of the draft. The crux of the draft, before we get into the sideshow of what happened with Shedeur Sanders' prank call, is most Falcon fans are really excited about this draft. Now, we did have a couple of guys hit up on the text line, didn't understand the dynamic of drafting two safeties, but, you know, you kind of touched on how it works in the nickel and the dime package and, you know, the dynamics at play. But, yeah, there'll be some guys that are not going to be in that safety room that are already on this roster, safe to say.
Yeah, and he's listed as a safety out of college. But,
he can play corner.
Yeah, he's going to be our nickel guy. We're talking about, who's it, the kid out of
Billy Bones.
Yeah, out of Oklahoma. All right, man, let's get to 4th-and-1.
Welcome to the NFL.
I can keep making noises.
I have to wait.
Pow. As the computer has locked up.
Yeah, seems that way. Hey, by the way, coming up also in the 5 o'clock hour, we will break down our draft more and give you some more background on some of the guys that we picked up over the weekend. I thought they did a really good job. Let's get to 4th-and-1.
It's time for 4th-and-1 on Dukes and Bell.
First down, let's get this right now.
All the NFL news and notes you need as we drive for the touchdown on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mike, the biggest story, obviously, over the weekend was Shedeur Sanders, and he continues to fall. I love what you said earlier about what did he do to anybody, right? For the people who wanted to see his demise. And
right.
Again, we've been saying this for the last few months, and that's more about Deion than it is Shedeur. But either way, he finally gets taken in the 5th round by the Browns, pick 144. And Shiloh, by the way, his brother, ended up signing with the Bucks. So ultimately, you know, we'll see if he makes the team or not. But he signs as an unsigned free agent, or undrafted free agent, should I say, with the Buccaneers. But this Shador Sanders thing. So here's what I have heard, okay? And I'm going to tell you this story, and this kind of gives you a little background of what maybe was going on. I will tell you, I know this for a fact, that there were teams who wanted to draft Shador Sanders before he was picked. First round?
Right.
Possible. Second, for sure. Third, absolutely. You got to the fourth round, Mike, and a situation played out with the team where they had him on the phone, and he's talking to them. They want to draft him. I'll let you use your imagination as I tell you this. And basically he says on the phone, well, you know, I'm really not a Northwest kind of guy. That same team ended up taking a kid from Alabama named Jalen Milroe.
Mm-hmm.
When you are trying to dictate the terms of where you're going and what you want, this is why this fall happened. This was not anybody holding him back. This was not racist. This was not the NFL and some major scheme plan or something that they had in store for him. Mike, when you and your dad are trying to maneuver where you're going to be, this is the kind of fall that happens. Everybody in their right mind knows Shador Sanders. And everybody I talked to at the end of the weekend said, dude, he was still on our board. And everybody's looking at us like, we're going to take him? We're going to take him? There were multiple teams who wanted to take him earlier in this draft. But because of his responses to some of these teams, Mike, right, one of these teams, I'm telling you what I know, people, Atlanta, you're not going to hear this anywhere else. And by the way, all this stuff you read is for public knowledge. This is behind the scenes. One of these teams, Mike, he said, we got another vision for me, man. We got another vision. When they're on the phone with him and they're ready to take him, and he goes,
draft him.
Well, I got another vision for me. Then his dad gets on the phone. Because his dad is repping him, right? He doesn't have an agent. He hasn't had an agent. I get it. All right. Dad has been there, done that. Mike, when you do those kinds of things, this is what happens.
There were reports, and again, that's why we all kind of rolled our eyes, because we've seen it before where some guys, you know, spin things out of the combine. But there were, you know, he's basically taking teams where he had no interest in going and just kind of being very dismissive in the interview process. So, guys, I know that parallels have been drawn between the Elway family or the Manning family and how Eli didn't want to play for the Chargers because the Spanos family. And that's fine, because that did happen. But even the way that this went down seems like it's beyond the racial component, which people are turning it into. It's just unprecedented, the level of hubris and ego that got involved.
Can I say this too, by the way? Black general managers passed him up earlier in this draft.
Great point. Tell somebody on ESPN
that. Well, I just want to be clear. Like, let's not assume that these are all black general managers also passing up. Now, he's ironically going to play for Andrew Berry in Cleveland. But Cleveland, they got great value, Mike. They don't have any fifth round. They don't have to play Shador if they don't want to. They picked the Gabriel kid in the third round. My point is, he may end up being in a great spot. But let's not make this more than what it was. This was him and his dad orchestrating, hey, we don't want to come. Here's why. We don't want to do that. I'm not this guy. I'm not that guy. And his teams were calling. He kept sliding.
Yeah, and we talked about, you know, you knew something was up, like they maybe overplayed their hand at the combine. Remember when Deion said, remember that public statement, I'm not going to be involved at all in my son's NFL career? Okay. So, yeah, look, I'm a big Deion fan. Not many dads can say, I said this on Twitter, get to say they got two sons on an NFL roster because Shiloh gets picked up as well as an undrafted free agent. But, you know, it's just that level of hubris that alienates people. That's why there were so many folks just like with glee watching him fall. So, again, I mean, I understand the reasoning behind it. I'm not going to sit there and just take a joy in watching somebody's dream go to, you know, basically get shattered. On the flip side, we got other guys who don't want to take the responsibility for what you're talking about, that they created this situation. Yeah, I mean, look, you're just giving some NFL personnel guys an excuse to do this, and you did.
You did.
On a silver platter.
You did. Let's not make it more than what it is. Do I wish him the best? Yeah. I was the one touting that I thought he was the first-round pick, and he still should have been. He probably could have been. If you didn't handle it the wrong way.
Right. So, I mean, the folks that are just laughing about this, you know, take a look at yourself. And then the victimization crowd, same thing. You guys are, you're not in line here with the facts of the story, to your point.
Yeah. I was blown away, Mike, when sources told me this story about that particular. If you're going, Jalen Milroe went before him, there's a reason. They'll never admit it, but there's a reason. 404-726-0929. Meanwhile, biggest takeaways from the draft, Mike, surprises outside of our team. And again, it's hard, guys, to say, oh, because let me tell you, New England had, they had like 80 picks.
Right.
And you look at New England's draft and you go, man, they got some great guys. I don't know how many of those guys are going to be stars ultimately in the league. I mean, like, so I'm looking at this in our division. I will tell you this. I actually think Carolina did an okay job. I didn't like them taking a wide receiver in that first round, but when you look at them trying to rebuild that defense, Mike, some of the things that they did in this draft, Carolina guys, if Bryce Young can play, they might be on the come.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting watching the edge rushers because we were so locked into all those names that we kept going back and forth on. Ezeraku, and you know, where was he going to go? Mike Green, we talked about the Ravens. That, you know, that surprised me how far they fell down, aside from, you know, the Browns going with two quarterbacks, which I think was obviously tied to the biggest story of the draft. That was kind of interesting. But yeah, Jackson Dart and the Giants. Because now everybody's going to look, is Jackson Dart going to be Mitchell Trubisky?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to look back, is not a great, you know, draft? The guy that's, and the funny thing is, the guy who goes number one overall, which is normally the biggest story, is Cam Ward, and he's not even getting any headlines whatsoever.
You're absolutely right.
Because the guy who goes in the fifth round got all the ink.
You're absolutely right. Hey, Fourth and One's brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Josh Kendall from The Athletic on the way to talk to us about the Falcons specifically in our draft. Outside of, you know, the Commanders, or should I say the Carolina Panthers, Derek Carr confirms that his shoulder injury, this can't be right, Day-Day. He was speaking at a church service is when it happened?
Yes, that is according to reports. He was speaking. It was a two-hour church service. And
well, how much Holy Spirit got in his body?
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, apparently he felt over, you know, felt moved to share this information while speaking.
All right. Josh going to tell him something right now, huh?
So, was this a Pentecostal church?
So they go Tyler Shook, Mike.
Yeah, which I was texting you like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought for sure that was going to be Shador Sanders. I mean, I think most of America did. But Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, Tyler Shook, Jalen Milroe goes to Seattle. Dylan Gabriel goes to the Browns first. We talked about Shador. Quinn Ewers goes to the Dolphins. And he goes all the way down to the seventh round, by the way. And I got to be honest. No disrespect to Quinn. I thought that's where he belonged to be. I thought the ceiling was pretty low for Quinn Ewers.
We said the projections. The injury didn't help him. And then, you know, he had a great pro day. But again, you're talking about the one little tidbit of information. But yeah, look. I'm not surprised, Mike. He was not an elite guy. He was a very good college quarterback and had really good players around him. Look, Texas put 13 guys in the league this year, right? 13 drafted guys. Georgia had more. Texas is right there behind him. My point is, like, he had a really good team, and sometimes you feel like, all right, Matthew Golden, the kid that gets drafted, one of the first receivers off the board. Like, he had some weapons that I think made him look better at times, and not just this year, even in the previous year. So, yeah, the only thing for him is, and I'm not wishing this either on Tua, Tua does get injured. That might be his opportunity to do something there.
It sounds like hype to say he's one hit away, but the way he carries the football and puts his head down, he is one hit away.
Yeah.
And you saw that last year at times. Everybody's literally holding their breath anytime he starts to move around in the pocket. So I thought the Cowboys, by the way, as we said, you're not giving grades because that, but just based on the name recognition, now only time will tell if these guys are worth a darn. But Ezeraku, you know, pile
stud.
You know, with Micah Parsons?
Stud.
That's a dynamic skill set with two athletic, you know, edge OLBs, however you wanted to classify them, guys can make the plays.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, man, more draft talk and certainly discussion with you guys. Our poll question is up, by the way, at Dukes and Bell 929. You can go there asking you, do you feel like the Falcons should have been punished for what happened over the weekend? You can go vote. It's simple, yes or no.